Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
My name is Will, and I, like Mulder from The X-Files, want to believe. So I've embarked on a journey of discovery. I've talked to people deeply entrenched in the spiritual and metaphysical worlds. I've thrown myself into weird and wonderful experiences. I've even joined a coven of witches, all in the interest of finding something, anything, that will prove that there's something beyond this physical, three-dimensional world we all live in. This is The Skeptic Metaphysician. Hey everyone, it's Will, and I'm really grateful that you've come back to listen to another episode of The Skeptic Metaphysician. This one's going to be a very different episode than any of our others, simply because this one focuses exclusively on Karen. This also marks the very first time we're having a returning guest on the show. My friend Heather Finch came on our very third episode to speak to us about Reiki healing, and this time comes to talk to us about a process called soul realignment. Now, this is such a powerful modality that we opted to give my co-host Karen a private experience with Heather so that we'd have an opportunity to edit out anything that we thought was just a little bit too personal to share. As it turns out, we've decided to release the episode exactly as it was recorded with nothing edited out. The fact is that this modality, this reading that Heather did for Karen, is so breathtakingly powerful that it would be a tragedy not to share the entire thing with you. I can tell you that Karen was shaken by the information that you're about to hear, mostly in a good way, but tears were definitely shed. So whether you're familiar with soul realignment or the Akashic Records, or this is the first time you've heard of it, you're about to learn a lot about the process and a lot about my co-host. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to listen in, so let's get right to it. Here is Heather Finch, Karen Ensley in Soul Realignment. Take it away, Karen.
Heather, I am so excited to get a chance to talk to you today. And as much as I wish Will was here, I'm kind of glad he's not. Because I feel like I can get a little more personal about this.
Exactly. I am so excited to be here today. And I really appreciate your volunteering to have a reading because it is a beautiful experience. But it, you're right, it is a very personal thing. And it's probably best that it's between just you and me, and then you can decide whether to share it with the world.
Well, I think I have faith. I think we'll share it because whether it's good or bad, you know, we want people to know and to know what this experience is like. So before we really get into that, I want you to tell me, what is soul realignment? What is it that you do?
What it is, and to go to a scientific, because that's probably not the right word, but it's accessing the Akashic Records. And the Akashic Records, this could become a long description, I apologize. Okay. The soul realignment is actually looking at the Akashic Records for you based on your intentions. So what your intentions were that I asked you to write down for this reading. When I go into the records, it allows me to ask questions, basically just yes or no questions. But those questions then give me the ability to understand data points about what you've asked. And I know that doesn't sound scientific, but it doesn't sound extremely woo-woo either. And the background to all of this is that we are made up of 10 dimensions. And we all understand the third dimension because that's our physical bodies. And that's how we can touch things and see, hear, feel in this third dimension. The fourth dimension is our mental ability. We can think into the future and plan. We can remember things from the past, so we understand time. But time is a fourth dimension construct. The Akashic Records are in the fifth dimension. So they're just beyond our reach. We don't see them. We can't quite access them without having a bit of a tool to be able to access them. And from the fifth to the tenth dimension, we can't see them. We don't know what they are. We're still trying to figure all that out. But quantum physics states we have 10 dimensions.
Okay. And so for people who don't really know what the Akashic Records are, can you give them just a quick explanation of what that is?
Yeah. It is a database, basically. If you think of the internet and being able to find out just about anything you want by typing in a Google search, the Akashic Records are the same thing. It is a massive data point just sitting in a library, and the way that I access them is like a card catalog in the library. And I go over and I go, this is what I want to know, and can you tell me what that is? And then I get that information back from the Akashic Records. But it is a very logical thing in the sense that I ask yes or no questions, and it gives me an answer to those questions.
So it's like spiritual Google.
Yeah, it is. That's a great way to put it. I like that. Spiritual Google. Cool.
I wish it was that easy to access, though.
Well, oddly enough, it is. Anybody can do this. I am by no means a psychic. I have learned how to work with my intuition in the last 10 years or so. But I was very unintuitive before that. And even recently, in the last 5 years, is only when I've started to really master my own intuition. So anybody can do this.
So what got you interested in this? What kind of pulled the trigger for you?
I wanted to find out what my soul's purpose was. And it's a long story and I won't go into it today. It is on my website about my life has not been the easiest. And so I'm not saying I've had a bad life, but for me, it's not been the easiest. So I wanted to find out in my mid-40s, what on earth am I here for? And I saw this soul profile reading and realignment, and I went, that's interesting. It sounds extravagant to go and pay for someone to do this, to tell me what my purpose in life is. Is that really going to make, you know, any sense or difference, or does it work? And so I had my own reading. And that reading wasn't scary. I thought it was going to be a little bit scary. It wasn't scary at all. I took everything with a grain of salt, but I actually started to see what my purpose was after that, because I learned what my own divine nature was made up of. And by knowing my own divine nature, it reaffirmed some of the things that I thought were wrong with me are actually some of my strengths.
Wow. I love that. Gosh, and that is so true. And it's interesting how you say, you know, it wasn't the easiest life. I have found, and I'm sure you've found too, sometimes that people that are interested in the metaphysics or even in arts are people that had struggles that they dealt with, and they have pulled from inside their spirit different strengths and different talents, and they are expressing those in the world.
Yes, it's through the turmoil sometimes that we experience the lows that then allow us to understand and appreciate the highs. And everything is a wave. I mean, emotions are, they go up and they go down and they go up and they down. And that's just life.
And I think it also creates that ability to empathize with people. And when you have that, gosh, when you're in traffic and someone cuts you off, instead of being like, oh, what a jerk, you're like, oh, maybe they're going to the hospital. Maybe, you know, something's happened. And you just have that feeling of empathy, and it helps things be easier. It helps you accept the pain more. I don't know. Does that make sense?
It does. And it especially makes sense because of your divine energy. Empathy for you is your gift. So to go on to, I don't know if we should start with your reading at this point, but that's kind of a good lead in to it.
Perfect. Am I going to cry? I cry a lot. Am I going to cry?
You might. You might do. It depends. We'll probably cry more when we get to the, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to talk about your divine energy and then your gift. Then we're going to find out where you would have chosen to incarnate first in this vast universe. And we don't all incarnate here on Earth the first time or the first incarnations. And so that's very exciting to find out about.
Yes, let's get started.
Yes. Well, then the rest of the bit is, do we find out some blocks and restrictions that may be preventing you from achieving your goals that you wrote down as your intentions that you want to achieve? So when you hear them, I'll want you to think about how this energy that you're hearing about might be affecting if you're not feeling like you're getting towards your intentions. But saying all that, some people might think that, ooh, blocks and restrictions sound scary. It's not. It is actually meant to, your highest good has set what will come out today. By setting your intentions, this information is basically being fed back to you. It's not me being special.
Well, just, I disagree, but okay.
The Akashic records then tell me, well, they respond to my questions, and that's the information that you, your higher self, was looking for from this.
Okay. Well, great.
Your divine energy is compassion, and compassion makes up 51% of your divine nature. So that's a lot. I mean, usually our primary energy is between 40 and 50%. So you're pushing past the 50% to 51%. And compassion is such a beautiful, beautiful energy. It's all about community and nature nurture. And like I said before, the divine gift is empathy. And that's a beautiful thing, because empathy is where you can see what other people need, and you can provide what other people need by doing or providing their basic needs. And you do it intuitively. You wouldn't have to think twice. You just say, oh, well, this person needs that. But where you excel is when it's a group, a community. And so if it's a family, or if it's in a community environment, like a neighborhood or a school, even by leading a group and being able to put some structure into a group, that is where you will have the most feedback that gives you energy. And it's also where you manifest the best.
So I work in TV. Yes. Sometimes I'm in front of the camera, sometimes I'm behind. But lately I've been doing a lot of production. And yesterday we just had a really rough shoot. So I sent a message out to the crew thanking them for all their work. And I got the best, like, it brought tears to my eyes, message back from these guys specifically talking about leadership. And I was just floored. So it's just, and it's a small group. And so wow. I'm saying this is, I have goosebumps and I am about to cry.
Okay. Well, no, that's beautiful. Gosh.
Wow.
This is why I love giving readings, though, is because I start to hear that from something where it's totally not, I haven't had a conversation with you before, but these data points just tell me what needs to be said.
Oh my gosh.
And in a strange sort of a way. So the more about compassion, the people with the energy will excel at creating, well, and I actually already did say creating, structuring, and building communities. And that's what you're doing with what you did yesterday. You're bringing people together. And the most important part for you, I mean, you're great at the community aspect, and that's great for the community, but the most important part for you is that you feel valued in that group or community. And if for some reason you're in a community where you feel isolated, where you've been giving to the community, you think you're providing their needs, but you just feel like you're on the outside and you're like, wait a minute, the community is meant to be inclusive. And why do I feel isolated? That's when you need to look at the situation and say, maybe I need to address with the community why I'm feeling isolated. But your nature would not want to do that. Your nature would go, well, this is a community. I'd better be more about the community, less about myself, more about the community. And that's actually where you can get into a state of depletion. So being aware that that can happen to you is where you can stop that from happening. You just go, okay, wait a minute. I'm feeling isolated. I'm feeling outside of the group, but yet I've given so much to this group. So what you do is you address it with the group by being very clear about what you need from the group. Because once you say what you need from the group, the group can respond to you. You're the expert at group. They're not the experts at group.
And you're sure you haven't talked to Will about me at all? Because this is like blowing my mind.
No, I haven't at all.
I had... been part of a woman's organization here because I love women empowerment and all of this. And I was doing everything, volunteering for everything. And I just wanted to make friends because we don't have any family in this area. And it's a military area. People move a lot. So it's hard to make friends. So that was my whole purpose of getting into this group. And after like 2 years, I just left because I felt like I was just giving it my all and getting nothing back.
Yeah. And I'm so proud of you for leaving, because that is something that's really hard for
people. It was so hard.
Yeah, because you think, well, it's about the community and I can't leave the community. But it's the right thing to do sometimes. Sometimes the right thing to do is to address it and ask the community, you know, I need something out of this too. That it has to be a two-way street for you. If there's not the value coming back to you, it's not healthy for you. And so by leaving that community and moving on to another community where you are appreciated. That's what's important, and that's how you stay connected to that vital force energy. And that's where you'll get your energy from, basically. So, that's really reaffirming about that, that's, you understand that.
Like spot
sometimes people
on.
Will look at me like, I'm not sure.
No, this is like, oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. Well, the thing to take away from your energy, it sounds like you understand your divine energy, even if you've never been told it before, that it really resonates with you, that it is about the community. And when you get that feedback, that is a charge and it raises your vibration. So, and you do seem to be aware that you don't want to get depleted, because otherwise, what's the point, really? Because when you're depleted, you can't provide for a community. You can't do anything constructive. So we'll move on to the next exciting part, which is where you originally incarnated. Yeah.
Excited.
And it was Polaris, which is the North Star, well, the galaxy of the North Star, because obviously we couldn't probably incarnate on a sun, but a planet within that galaxy. And so people who incarnated there, there's characteristics of this group of people, and they are the true North. They are the ones that everyone else relies on and goes to when all else fails, because they know they can trust them. They are loyal. They are the ones that we know will always be there for us. Polarians have a tendency to stay in communities. They have a tendency to stay in jobs. They have a tendency to stay in everything they tend to do, sometimes longer than they need to.
Yep.
And so it's one of those things they tend to understand communities and groups. It's like this is because of your divine energy. It's almost that's why you would have incarnated into this Polarian area, because it's very linked to compassion in so many ways. It is all about oneness and unity, inclusivity. They don't like exclusivity. If there's some reason why somebody's excluded, they're going to try to bring them into the group. So that's a big part. I'm just going to check and go through the rest of the information so I don't miss anything. Polarians bring in the energies of oneness. They have a talent for creating these energies within groups and communities. So being that the compassion is very community-based, by being a Polarian, you actually bring that community together. So not only just working within a community, you have the ability to almost wrap your arms around a community and provide that glue that helps them all stick together. So, and that's one of the traits of the Polarians, is that they are the glue that sticks everything together, because everyone just relies on them. Hard part for Polarians, though, is that they don't like to make big changes. And they think that making little changes be okay, but making a big change sounds really, really scary. And so what happens is that they try to make these little changes, but that's not conducive for them. They actually, because they stick like glue and able to carry on with things, they actually do see the bigger picture after waiting and sitting back for a while. So they know when they've got to make a change, sometimes it has to be a big change, and it can be frightening to them. But a big change is much better for a Polarian than a lot of little small changes. It's because of the way that they approach a situation, because they'll have all the facts. So having all the facts and going, well, let's try this, not going to get them very far. Having all the facts and going, yeah, let's just do it, that's a good thing for them, because they'll know that they're actually heading in the right direction. It's just hard to do it sometimes. So maybe the motto for Polarians should be just do it when they make up their mind.
I do take a while to make decisions. I do.
Uh-huh.
But that's all decisions. Even little decisions take me a long time too.
Yeah. Well, and what it's saying here is that just any change isn't comfortable, but they might make little decisions because it feels like it's easier to make than a big change. Sometimes making that big change is actually easier.
Okay.
It's just harder to realize it. Oh, and I don't know, but sometimes Polarians can be very stubborn, and they can follow a path that's clearly not going to serve them, even when others can see that it won't serve them, but they continue on that path.
And no so comment.
Be aware of.
Well, I will
I think you might relate to that from that reaction.
Yes, just a bit, 100%.
Okay.
Yep. Sometimes I just feel like I have to follow it through until it's done, even though I know I shouldn't. Yeah.
Waste the energy on something.
Waste the energy, the time, the life. Now I've done that less as I've gotten older because I've realized it's just not worth your life force.
Yeah.
But when I was young, I just used to just keep going. You know, we'll see how this ride ends up, and you know it's gonna suck at the end. But you do it anyways. Maybe that's the not wanting to change.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's being afraid of the change.
Because the change is not following it through, and it's,
right.
You know, it's like, well, I know this, we'll just kind of continue on. Mm-hmm. But that is something to be aware of you're now incarnated on Earth, and so you're learning earthly habits, and you've incarnated other places as well, just to put a little bit of interesting stuff out there. I didn't look at that. I'm just making a guess. Most of us have incarnated. Sure. Mm-hmm.
How many times do people typically incarnate? Is there like an average number, or is it just...
Yeah, there is, in the sense that around 60 incarnations would probably be the number. But some people can incarnate a whole lot more than that, and other people could be newer at the whole process or have less incarnations, in the sense that we may not necessarily incarnate every time into a 3D body. Because we're 10 dimensions, this is something we can do, and it's the experience of this physical world that we're looking for. Because you can't have that physical world in the fifth dimension. It's just different.
Yeah. Wow. So something that you said earlier when you're talking about the people that incarnate on Polaris. When I was younger, I used to have these dreams that I was an older woman and I was leading a group of people to the horizon. It was just a weird recurring dream that I was like this older wise woman. I was leading this group of people, very, very kind of like motherly.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that has to do with that. I mean, I haven't had those dreams in a while since.
Wow.
But I used to have those all the time.
I think it does have to do with maybe a past life that you've had, but it has to do very much with your divine nature. Because if you're leading a group of people, that's a group, a community, and that speaks to your compassion. It also speaks to the Polarian and being the one thing that leads them down that path. And granted, sometimes the path can go on and on and on, and they shouldn't do that. But also the Polarian aspect of that oneness, it's like you're bringing people together to understand that we are all one. I don't know. I'm just going off on my own thing there. Polarians are very much about that unity and inclusivity.
And then something else that you said that was also one of those, I'm telling you, this is blowing my mind. A friend actually of mine and Will's sent us a message week or two ago, and it was, quote, "You are my true north."
Oh my god!
Heather, you're freaking me out.
Oh my god! Wow! That from what I understand, people who are Polarian tend to look at the North Star a lot, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I'm drawn to looking at the North Star when they see it in the sky, and they're fascinated with it," or hearing things like someone telling you the true north that it's. Interesting, the coincidences that come up.
It really
very exciting.
Is. Absolutely.
So now we'll move on to what your record wanted you to hear.
Ooh.
Need to find, and these are soul stories. Basically, what happens is the information in the Akashic Records, it's just data. Sorry, I'm in the UK. I can't remember which way to say it. Okay. And it's just information. There's no emotion connected to it. Just facts that happened. Now, being 3D being with a 4D emotional mental ability, we tend to put emotion into everything.
Of course.
So by telling you a story, you might put more emotion into it than maybe is necessary. That's not the point. The point is what the data is. And so I will tell you the story to give you a real world, for lack of a better word, a real word understanding of this. And I'm going to say the word negative, but don't think negative is bad. If I fall into saying negative, it's only because it's not in alignment with your divine energy. Your divine, anything that you do that's in alignment with your divine energy is positive for you. But if it's not in alignment with your divine energy, then it's negative for you. Doesn't mean it's bad. It just means that it's negative for you. Might be right for somebody else.
Gotcha.
And societal norms may be right for some people and not right for other people, even though they're societal norms. So that's where understanding what's right for you is more important than understanding what's right for everybody else, or I shouldn't say everybody else, because it's the societal norms, just the average. So for the first pattern that the records brought up, now this is something that happened in your present life. There could be past life or present life soul stories. I can't tell you the story about something that happened in your present life, because you're actually going to tell me maybe what might have happened. And we're going to try to jog your memory as to what might have happened around this time period. What I can tell you is that somewhere between the ages of 31 and 35, something happened that was quite painful for you emotionally. And you had a feeling of misplacement, a lack of belonging, or possibly trouble integrating with family or with society. And this caused you to lose a sense of self at that time. Can you think of anything that might have happened between ages of 31 and 35? Because it could have started at 28 and gone into 31, or it could have started at 34 and gone on.
Gosh, lately it's hard for me to remember what happened last week.
I understand that.
Gosh, trying to think, what was I doing at that point? I had been a teacher, and then I quit teaching right around the age of 30, 31. And then I was working for a real estate investment company. It wasn't a job. I didn't love the job, but I loved the benefits of the job, just because it was kind of like, if you don't have to work, don't be at work. You know, it was very, I had a lot of free time, and that I appreciated. I think for me, maybe the drawback and something I do regret, I stayed with that job for a long time. For 11 years.
Wow.
Because it was easy, and it was, you know, there's a lot of details, but I didn't do things I should have done. So could that be it? I had these plans when I was younger for my future that I feel like I got lazy and I didn't manifest those plans because I was doing something that was easy and I didn't have to work. And I remember someone telling me life shouldn't always be a struggle. So I'm like, okay, this is easy. And I stuck with that. I mean, could that be it? Maybe.
It very well could be, but it would have been the reason why it wasn't positive for you wasn't because it was easy. It's because you probably didn't have a sense of belonging. There wasn't a community involved. It might have been a one-on-one type of situation.
I was by myself most of the time. I was in an office by myself 98% of the time.
Okay. That what happened during that time period, according to your Akashic records, will have caused you to have a negative energy that was created. And it sounds like you stuck with it for a very long time, and that's why this is coming up. It's like a lack of belonging feeling, but it was probably due to the job, not you yourself.
I think, and this, as much as it was an easy job, it's something I regret. And I'm not trying to sound like boastful or anything, but in school and in college, I was always the dean's list, the president's list, the highest grades, most likely to succeed, won all the awards. And so I had these future plans and goals. And then I did this job that was very easy, and I let all this time pass where I was going to have my doctorate by the time I was 30. Like, none of that happened. And ever since then, I have been tremendously disappointed with myself.
Okay.
And I could have done more.
Okay, this sounds like, and I'm probably not supposed to do this, but it sounds like it's actually tied into the next soul story. And this is just, it was just to tell us where this has really affected you in your current life. The next soul story is a past life story, so I actually get to tell you a story. I think I'm going to tell you in advance. I usually tell after the story, but what this story wants you to pick up from this is that you have some negative energy around your own self-esteem and your personal goals, and it's all about miscommunication. And I don't understand the miscommunication, but the best way for me to describe the miscommunication was with my little story. Okay. So fingers crossed, it helps you to understand it. So two lifetimes ago, you incarnated as a female, and you were married during this lifetime. Mm-hmm. But while you were married, you met the love of your life, obviously not the man you were married to. But due to societal constraints in that time period, you did not feel able to leave your husband for your love. The man that you loved felt that you had miscommunicated to him, and that your relationship, I wouldn't say it wasn't a physical relationship, but your you're wanting to be with him and him wanting to be with you, but never really being able to get together.
Mm-hmm.
He felt that you were miscommunicating, that you were kind of leading him on. Mm-hmm. And I'm just using that as a word. This miscommunication is the word, really, that came up. And unfortunately, over the years, what happened, and this is the reason why this became a negative thing for you that followed you, he unfortunately decided to commit suicide in that lifetime. And that's a horrible thing to hear, and it was a horrible experience for you. And it stuck in your soul that you feel that you blame yourself for this passing of this man that you did love. So it was really very painful. But the thing is, you did not cause his death. And that's the important thing that you need to clear now. You won't know this in your current life because it was in a past life. Mm-hmm. And when we come to this life, we don't remember these things. But that negative energy, feeling like something went wrong because of miscommunication, and you don't ever want that to ever go wrong again, has been following you around. And it affected your personal goals and your sense of self-esteem, and it has ever since. So now,
wow.
After we're done today, I'm going to send you some homework. And all it is it's clearing. It's just saying, reading through something that will clear this energy. And it will remove this weird sense of miscommunication that's caused trauma from your divine nature, because you've been carrying it with you ever since.
Well, that might explain. I mean, I got married later. I didn't meet Will until I was 38, I think, 37, 38, somewhere around there. But I would stay in relationships really long because I felt terrible to break up with someone. I didn't want to hurt someone like that.
Oh, wow.
That's like a thing. Like that was my biggest thing. It was, you know, guys that were, I shouldn't have been with. And I just felt so bad to break up with somebody. You know, I didn't want to hurt somebody. I wonder.
Very much like this story has carried through into this lifetime. But the good news is that you can clear that energy and you can release that. So going forward, you don't have that negative energy that you've decided to carry on with you because it was so painful. It is just, it's a very healing process to just do the reading. And once you intend for this negative energy to be gone, it's actually gone instantly.
Oh, wow.
But we do ask you to read the homework for 21 days. And the reason for that is because what's happened is you've lived your life and you've had relationships that you just didn't want to hurt anybody. And because of that, you've developed habits in this lifetime that you need to no longer, they don't serve you. So you need to make new habits. And going forward, the 21 days of homework will help you to remember that, oh yeah, I need to release that energy because that's actually not me. That was something that happened and it affected me. But now that I'm clearing it, I can be me, not have that negative energy stopping me from doing things that I need to do for me.
And will the homework help to identify those habits?
No, you will have to identify those habits, unfortunately. But,
okay.
But by clearing the energy, what you're doing is you're setting the slate clean, and you have what these little things called white lights, that there's 15 of them that follow you around. And they are like the coincidences, or when you set your intention to do something, these little beings that are out there, they're not really beings, they're more like energy. They will say, this is the right way, follow me.
I need that.
And so these, they'll help you. They are going to definitely guide you along the way towards making the right new habits. I mean, we already know what the bad habits are, in the sense that you stick in something too long out of fear of hurting somebody. And maybe that, I don't know how that's going to play out going forward, in the sense that I don't, you know, if you don't have a situation like that currently in your life,
right,
that's not important.
Well, I've done that with friendships too.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting.
Well, actually, I think that the takeaway from this one is to realize that you are here to have your experience in this body. And the other people are also here to have their experience in their body. And they are responsible for themselves and you're responsible for you. And therefore, what's right for you If that means walking away from something, it's not hurting someone else. That's their experience. That's they've come here to have an experience. And part of our life is ups and downs and people coming and going from our lives.
That's going to be tough. Okay. So it's like I've kind of imposed this penance for something from a couple of lifetimes ago that I've been carrying around. Did you see the movie The Mission?
No.
Oh, it's this incredible movie. It's like Robert De Niro and Jeremy Irons. And it's like this mission, and this guy has killed his brother. And he has to go be a missionary now to make up for that. But he decides that that's not enough. So, and they're like, this is way back when, and they're climbing through the hills and the mountains in Portugal. And he ties this net full of armor and swords and all this heavy stuff onto him so that he has to carry that up, you know, and he makes himself do that. And then finally he gets to where he's about to die and the priest cuts it off and, you know, releases him from that penance. But cutting off the bag of stuff.
Yes. Yes. Well, you're released from that penance, basically.
Okay.
And just solely by intending for this to be cleared, it's clear. Just like with the first whole story that we talked about, where, and it seems to be related around that job, this one will bring a stronger sense of self-esteem and you'll be able to achieve your personal goals because this energy is being cleared from this particular pattern. So this one's quite, this could be a life changer in a sense that you will be able to achieve your personal goals that you're looking to achieve. So, because you might've been holding yourself back before through concern, you know, and it's good to be concerned for others. I'm not saying, you know, just, live your life for yourself. Not that, but staying with something that's not a two-way street isn't good for anybody. And people make their own beds is the way I look at it. So, if it's not a two-way street, then they will understand that because, well, it's got to be a two-way street.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And there's one more full story. And this one is based around a feeling of helplessness. And this happened in your current life as well. But this happened when you were between 7 and 10. And so what happened, I mean, I can't tell you what happened. Only you can say what happened. Mm-hmm. But somebody or a situation made you feel that you were helpless. And that negative energy has carried throughout your life. And you want to just say, you know what, you might have learned your lesson at that point, at 7 or 10 or however old you were at that point. We don't have control over our lives and we don't have the capability of doing a lot. So we can feel helpless. Yeah. But in this day and age, as adults, we can make changes. We aren't helpless. We can feel, I'm a bit helpless about that. And actually think about it and go, well, I could do this or I could do that. I'm not actually helpless. Mm-hmm. Even things we don't have control over, we don't have to be helpless because of them. We can make changes in our own life to fix that. Can you think of anything that might have happened between 7 and 10?
Absolutely. My parents got divorced when I was 7.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it's a lifestyle change in every regard.
You had no input to that situation at all, and you were completely helpless to that situation. Yep. Oh, man. Well, your Akashic record wanted to bring that up today and remind you that you're not helpless. And by clearing this energy, you can make the changes. You can make the choices. I shouldn't say changes. You're in control of your own life. Your choices are what's right for you.
You got the tears.
Yes. It's, and when I sent the information to Will about this, I did say there could be triggers. And oddly enough, reading your record, it seemed so beautiful and everything. And I thought, oh, there aren't any triggers in here. Sorry about that.
This is good. This is, you know, and this is what people also, I want people to hear and to know and to share in my experience. This is going to help a lot of people.
So, what I want to ask you is, what would you take away from when you're doing your homework? What will you be thinking about as a takeaway action or things to be aware of as you do your homework and start to go forward?
I think, you know, I've always said I'm the sum of my past experiences, which is true. But I guess I need to not put those limitations and say that's only who I am. So,
that's beautiful. Oh, you need to write that one down too, because that is absolutely beautiful. I really love what you've just said, because I think what your intentions were, and I don't know if you want to say what your intentions are, and you don't have to, but every single one of them will be helped by that little mantra that you've just said.
Yeah, I think so. I think part of who I've been is giving everyone else the big piece of meat, you know, and then taking what's left at the end. So I guess I have to really realize it's okay to sometimes take the big piece of meat.
Yes, it is. Because even when you're working in a group, sometimes you need that out of the group. And sometimes you're always going to support when someone else needs that. So support yourself when you need that.
That's oh my gosh, this has been intense. And so wonderful. Wow.
Well, I'm so glad that you asked her, that you didn't ask, that you agreed to a reading.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Will is always the one that gets to have these experiences. And I'm like, oh, it's my turn now. Thank you so much. And it's interesting because he's been learning so much along this. And like I said, he kind of, 100% intentionally keeps me in the dark, but it kind of helps with even with the podcast to have two different types of questions and mindsets going into it. And I had no idea what to expect. I'm usually just full on in. I'll believe it all. And today to me just really emphasizes why I should believe it all, because you have nailed so many things. And given me a very different perspective. And well, especially after this conversation, I think you're very special. You've been very special to me today.
Thank you.
So if people want to get your help, how can they contact you to get, is it a reading, an alignment?
It's soul realignment is what it's called. Okay. Because people don't understand what soul realignment is, I say soul profile reading and realignment. And just so that the word is in there, I have a website, which is, I'm sure you'll put it in the notes, theartofinvitinghappiness.com.
Oh, that's wonderful. The Art of Inviting Happiness. Yes. Perfect. And absolutely, we'll put that. Do you have social media where people can contact you?
Yeah, I also have a Facebook page, and I'm on LinkedIn as well, because I think the people who need this most are people who are working. Yes. And I just feel that sometimes we can get very lost in our jobs. And
oh my gosh,
and start to wonder, why am I doing this?
Yep. And I'm sure you've sent all that information to Will. So we'll make sure all of that is in the show notes. So anybody who's out there, give Heather send her an email, contact her, reach out to her, because she is incredible. I mean, this is all so, I don't even know, so profound and genuine. And she is such a lovely, lovely woman. So please just reach out to her, and she's going to help you understand maybe why you act how you do and react how you do and help you live a better, more whole life. So I strongly, strongly recommend reaching out to her. Heather, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for this. I'm going to go tell Will all about it. I want to know. But this has just been a fantastic, fantastic experience. And I look forward to talking with you again.
Yes, definitely. I'd like to catch up and see how things are going, definitely.
And thank you, listener. I'm sure Will is going to add a wonderful ending to this, because he always does. But we will see you next time on The Skeptic Metaphysician. Until then, take care.
Whoa, it's Will back again. I don't know about you, listener, but I have goosebumps. I know I'm definitely going to reach out to Heather to have one of these readings, because the information she gave to Karen, life-changing. I mean, nothing short of life-changing. So if you're interested in reaching out to Heather and getting a soul realignment reading done by her, you can check out all of her information on our show notes. We've laid in direct links to those pages directly there. So just go to skepticmetaphysician.com, go to her episode page, and you'll find all the direct links listed right there. Well, thank you for coming along on this journey of discovery with us again. We'd love to continue our conversation with you on Facebook and Instagram, so please find us there under @skepticmetaphysician or @skepticmetaphysician.com, where you can subscribe to the show or leave us a review or a voicemail directly there. As always, if you know someone that would benefit from hearing the messages we've shared on this show or any of our others, I hope you'll consider sharing us with that person. You never know when someone's life will be changed just by hearing a podcast. Listening to the show on the radio, or you missed any of our show today, not to worry. All of our shows, including this one, can be found on our site, skepticmetaphysician.com, where you can become a member of the Skeptic Metaphysician community for free and enjoy added benefits of discounts for services from some of our past guests, as well as the chance to connect with us directly. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we have. I've been told not to say sadly that's all we have for now, so that is all we have for now. We look forward to seeing you again on our next episode of The Skeptic Metaphysician. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode of, how to say it again, The Skeptic Metaphysician. Until then, take care.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.